again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 19, verse 34. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. At first this seems a minor detail to the story of the crucifixion of Christ. The soldier wants to make sure that Jesus is dead, so he thrusts his spear into Jesus' side. It must have been an awful mess as the blood and water flowed out freely. If Jesus was not already dead, he certainly was now. However, there is more to this than meets the eye. Every little thing in St. John's Gospel has a meaning. And the ultimate meaning is found at the end of chapter 20 of John's Gospel, where he says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." How can a physical demonstration that Jesus has actually died give us life in his name? We have to consider that for St. John, the picture of the pierced side of Jesus forms the climax not only of the crucifixion, but of the whole story of Jesus. After the lance bursts open the side of Jesus, everything about Jesus' life and his existence is now completely open and revealed. The opening of his side is symbolic that all is now revealed about who this person is and what he has accomplished. He is no longer a single individual, Jesus of Nazareth. He is now that Son of Man that the prophets of the Old Testament spoke of, the one who would undergo suffering for the sake of Israel. Jesus at this moment on the cross is now revealed as the second Adam, the one who is to make up for the transgressions of the first Adam. We all remember the first Adam, the one through whom sin entered the world. From the side of the first Adam, a helpmate, part of his flesh, was taken to form a new creation, Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, the Greek word is for side is translated by us usually as Adam's rib. But the word really means the side of Adam, the same word for the side of Jesus, where the spear pierces. There is deliberate reference by St. John to the side to remind us that this is the second Adam, making up for the sin of the first Adam. And of course, the side of Adam conjures up images of unity and mutual dependence on each other between Adam and Eve. "Flesh of my flesh," says Adam of Eve. Now, in the open side of Jesus on the cross, we see the pattern in the Garden of Eden repeated. For here we see the beginning of something new also, a new community, the church, the body of Christ, flesh of his flesh, just as Eve was flesh of his flesh. And so, as the side of Jesus is pierced, the society of those saved by the death of the second Adam is figured and brought to bear. This community to which we all belong is formed by the blood and water of Christ. But these also are images of a greater reality. The water of baptism and the blood of the Eucharist, symbolized by this mingling of the blood and water in Christ's side. All through his gospel, John presents images to teach us about Jesus. "I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life." Now at this pivotal moment, John gives a powerful image of the church being formed from the wounded side of Christ. The cross is not a sign to scare us or push us into being good or to make us guilty. No, the cross is a sign of God's love, which seeks to draw us into his church so that we may become signs of God's love. And that is the ultimate meaning of this moment when the soldier wants to prove that the Christ is dead. The water and the blood are those two great sacraments by which we are made members of the church. They are part of the crucifixion because the church is part of the crucifixion. This is particularly illustrated by our Lord's words from the cross to his mother and to St. John. "Woman, behold thy son," he says to Mary, and to St. John, "behold thy mother." These are not just words of concern by Jesus that his mother should be cared for. We would expect nothing less than that. But at this moment on the cross, Mary and John are given to each other in love as a sign of what the church is to be as it is formed from the wounded side of Christ. That is, that you and I are given to each other in love. Most significantly, on the cross, we see love as more than a feeling. It is a decision by Christ. In referring to Jesus as Son of Man, we do not suggest that he felt like suffering, that he wanted to suffer. On the contrary, no matter how much he saw the necessity to offer his life as a ransom for many, his feelings would surely have shrunk from it. But love brought him from heaven for this purpose. And so it is a decision to love. Love is often vicarious. A mother suffers with and for her sick child. A soldier suffers for his country. Love carries a burden for others. And so the Son of God became Son of Man because he is love. Today Jesus suffered because Jesus loved, as he always had, ever since the world was made. But Jesus' sufferings only have value because he has something to offer on our behalf on that cross. As the Son of God, Jesus is able to offer a perfect and eternal sacrifice. In doing so, his outstretched arms will embrace us and take us up into that perfect sacrifice, that sacrifice which we celebrate tonight. In all the pain and all the agony of the cross, tonight is a celebration of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.